Open your Bibles to the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 33. Acts 4:33. And it says, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." I want to talk about a church with great power and great grace. Somebody tell your neighbor that. I want to be in the church with great power and great grace. Turn to the neighbor on the other side and say, "I want to have great power and great grace." All right, you can be seated. I'm so honored and happy to see a couple that served in this church for so many years. And they were the founders of our couples ministry, and they retired and live down in the sticks of Virginia now. But they're here today, Reverend Mary Clarence and Mary Allen Eldridge. Stand up. I'm so glad to have them today. Thank y'all for being here. God bless you. Thank you. I want to talk about this verse and some surrounding verses around it, because the early church, when church first got started, it was such a powerful and impacting people who impacted their community. And they started their work at home. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read chapter 1 to you for a second, verse 8. Let me just read this one verse to you. It says, Jesus is talking to the disciples as he's departing. And he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, that seems like an unimportant verse, but what he is saying is, says, you're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Jerusalem means you're going to start being a witness at home. Now, wouldn't the world be different if you could be a testimony to the people in the house you live in? And then in all Judea and Samaria, that's the surrounding communities. That's your job. That's all of the places you hang out. And then to the end of the earth. So it starts at home. Being a witness starts at home. Then to the outskirts of your home. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the reason that's important is because when you read the story of the Acts of the Apostles, when you read the book of the Acts of the Apostles, this book is the history of the early church. And the first 8 chapters deal with their impact in Jerusalem. In other words, how they made a difference right at home, right in their own community. And then it says in chapters 8 through 12, it talks about their impact in Judea and Samaria. That's their surrounding areas. And then chapters 12 through 28 deals with their impact through the rest of the world. Now my burden is today. I hope I'm not confusing you. Have I confused you yet? Let me try a little harder. My burden is, I don't want us to be a church that's not making a difference at home, in our surrounding communities, and then into the uttermost parts of the world. I don't want us to be a religious church. You know, there's a difference. There's a difference between having a relationship with God and being religious. I don't want you to just be checking off church. I went to church today, check. But not really have a vibrant walk with God. I want us to be a church with great power and great grace. Amen. I want us to have the power of God. When this 33rd verse of chapter 4 talks about they had great power, that word power means that they saw God moving on their behalf, showing his strength and his ability, and seeing God perform miracles. We want to live our lives in such a way that you see miracles performed in your life. That's the thing you want to see. God opening up doors for you that you know only God could open up that door for you. We want to live our life in such a way that you see God doing things for you even before you ask Him to do them for you. And the text says these apostles and these disciples of Jesus not only had power, it says they had great power. Yeah, I tried to put that little focus on it right there. You remember Tony the Tiger used to talk about, huh? He said, they're great. I'm trying to tell you right now that these guys, these disciples and these apostles were living a life that when Luke sat down to write about it, he said they had great power flowing in life. It wasn't just power, it was great power. It's great power when you see God build a facility that costs $24 million and you got the cash for it before you even move in. That's great. That's unheard of. It's great. It's great power. Great power. Some people don't want to hear about the power of God. They want to live their lives by their own strengths and abilities. But I'm trying to tell you that living life with the power of God is much greater than trying to live it in your own strength and might. They not only had great power, but the text says right here, I love this verse. He says, with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. They had grace, not only just grace, they had great grace. Great grace. It's one thing, you know, grace, let me tell you what grace is. Grace is when God gives you the power and the ability and the desire to do everything you're supposed to be and do. Grace is when God empowers you to be what you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do. And give you the desire to want to do it. Grace is when God gives you the desire to love and listen to your wife even though you don't want to hear what she got to say. Grace is when you hook up your husband even though he don't deserve to be hooked up. That's grace. Grace is when you spare your kids when they do something they ain't got no business doing and you let them live instead of killing them. That's grace. Anybody here know something about grace? And it says they had not only grace, they had great grace. Great grace. Great grace. Whoo, that's powerful. It's profound. They live lives. This is the kind of life I want us to live, that we have a walk with God. We have a relationship with God. Now I discover when you talk to people, and this is what my point is today, I'm pushing toward, because I listen to the conversations around First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, and I'm listening to what's coming out of you. I'm listening to what is your focus. Because if you listen to a person long enough, what's important to them comes out. You listen to people long enough, whatever they're into, that's what they're going to start talking about eventually. You talk to them long enough, if they're in the Amway, they're going to try to get you hooked up into the Amway program. Huh? Can I get an amen right there? Yeah. And I'm praying that you have such an encounter with God in your life that the power of God is so overflowing in your life and the grace of God is so magnificent. When somebody talks to you, Jesus all of a sudden starts squirting out of your mouth. You're just talking about Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want us to be a religious church. We want you to have a vibrant walk with God, a relationship with Jesus, a communion with Him. He's answering your prayers. He's opening up doors. He's fighting your battles. He's defending your cause. He's claiming you as His own. He's working miracles in your life. That's what we want to see God do, that He performs miracles on your behalf. And He wants to do it. He wants to do great things for you. Great. That's what He wants to do for you. So how do I get it? How do I get to a place where I have not only the power of God, but I have great power? And I not only have grace, but I have great grace. I like living my kind of life because I see God's grace and power in my life, and I see it in great ways. I see God doing unbelievable things. Just remarkable things. And you tell Because God opens up not just doors immediately in front of you. He's opening up doors all around you, and fighting things way in front of you. How did they get there? I'm glad you asked the question. In verse 31 of this fourth chapter, it talks about them. And there's three components of this 31st verse of chapter 4 that reveal some things that they embraced. And I want to challenge you to embrace these things. Here's number one. It says in verse 31, and when they had prayed. Now, I want to spend a few moments talking about prayer. Because what was in their life that was vibrant and alive is that they were people who were people of prayer. And I'm here to tell you today, the thing that the devil wants to take from you is your prayer life. He's going to try to do everything he can to take your prayer life away from you. He's going to discourage you, frustrate you. He's going to tell you all the things wrong, why you can't pray, trying to make you feel guilty, shame. You thought something you shouldn't have thought. You said something you shouldn't have said. You went somewhere you shouldn't have went. You wanted something you shouldn't have had. And he's going to remind you of those things, put them on blast to try to steal your prayer life. But I'm here to tell you, God loves us so much. No, don't clap yet. Wait till I finish. I want everybody to hear what I'm going to say. Y'all clap so quick all the time. I like to clap, but wait till I finish my point, then clap till hell freezes over. Just keep clapping. Now I forgot what I was about to say. What was I saying? Oh, the devil will try to take your prayer life from you. He wants to make you feel shame or guilty about so many things. He wants to pop stuff. When you want to pray, he'll cause stuff that you shouldn't be thinking about to pop up in your mind. You be getting ready to pray, and there's something right there in your mind you shouldn't be thinking about. But the deal is, the devil wants you to think that you have to earn the right to pray. And that you've got to be righteous enough to pray. Let me tell you the truth. Ain't nobody in here, even on your best day, is righteous enough to pray to God in your own strength and power. On your best day, you ain't good enough. Your righteousness has a filthy rag. We don't go to God and get answers to our prayers on the basis of our righteousness. We get answers to our prayer on the basis of the name of Jesus and His name alone. We go to God to say, I'm not coming to you with my prayer request on the basis of who I am. I'm coming on the basis of who He is. And He has given me the right and the authority because He's covered me in my sins and my messed upness in His blood. And because He's covered me in His blood, I'm coming in the name of Jesus to make my prayer request. I'm trying to tell you that you got to keep your prayer life and prayer line and prayer communications open at all times. You want the grace of God and the power of God, you got to keep on praying. I don't care what you did. I don't care how low down you've been. Look at your neighbor. Say, I don't care how low down you've been. Look on the other side. Say, I don't care how nasty you've been. Go ahead, tell me. Keep your prayer life open. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you get forgiveness of sins, when you have a relationship with God, that's one of the privileges of the Christian life. You get a prayer line. You get a direct line. You don't have to go through nobody. You don't need no intercessor. You don't need a priest to pray for you. You don't need a pastor to pray for you. You can talk to God for yourself. And it's important that you know that. Keep your prayer life open. He wants to steal your prayer life. Keep it open. Here's number two. I'm almost finished. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Here it is. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's the second thing that you need to have if you want power and grace. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me talk about this for a moment because y'all got quiet on that. Y'all didn't Y'all didn't say anything. This is an important deal. I love the 12 o'clock service. I can take my time and explain this to you. When I was growing up in church, my mother brought me to church when I was like 9 or 10 years old. And I come to church. And people in church used to get what we used to call happy. You young people don't know nothing about happy. That terminology, you don't know what that means. If somebody jumped and shouted, ran around and fell out and beat up everybody on their row, we say they got happy. Anybody remember that? Yeah, they got happy. We said they got happy. And as a kid, I used to get scared when that happened. And I would be like over the couch behind my mother saying, whatever got on them, I hope it don't come over here and get on me. When this scripture talks about being filled with the Spirit, it's not talking about some emotional outburst. That's not what it's talking about. It is talking about you allowing the very power and presence of God to fill every nook and cranny and capacity in your life. And as a matter of fact, that is a call of God on our life, for us to be filled with the Spirit of God. That matter of fact, Ephesians 5 talks about be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. That's not a one-time deal. It is something that happens over and over and over again in your life. You know why it needs to happen over and over and over again in your life? Because when you put God in charge of your life, when He comes and rules your life, every now and then you try to take the reins back from Him and you want to start calling your own shots. So you need to go back to the altar and get refilled again. You're not getting resaved, but you're surrendering your life back to Him again so He can be in charge of it, because you keep taking charge. You keep trying to decide what to do and running your life by what you think rather than what He says do. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means I have opened up every area of my life to the control of the Holy Spirit. Every nook, every cranny, every door, every option, my conversations, the music I listen to, the books I read, the magazines I subscribe to, the cable channels I pay extra to. Y'all ain't got nothing to say to me here today. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it is about allowing Him to control everything in your life. But we have the problem, my brothers and sisters, that we reserve and hold off areas that we don't let the Holy Spirit have control of. And you will never experience the full power of great grace and great power until you get filled and let the Holy Ghost to have free reign over every part of your life. I know it's hard because your flesh wants to punch in certain channels on your radio. Your TV wants to be tuned to certain channels. You have certain favorite ungodly channels. Y'all was clapping a few moments ago. Why y'all stop clapping? Every book you're reading is you magazines and all this stuff that's detrimental to your spiritual walk and development with God. And you want to know why the Spirit of God is grieved. He's been grieved. And these guys saw great power and great grace because they were yielded to the Spirit of God. Now you got to ask yourself the question, what's in my life that's preventing God flowing greatly in my life? What is it that I've allowed to be more important to me than the presence of God? Now, when I was growing up, when they talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, as a matter of fact, some churches still teach this today, that you will know that you are filled with the Holy Ghost when you speak in tongues. And I've been to many churches in my life where people trying to speak in tongues. Because they thought that's what it meant to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So they would go to the altar and, you know, la 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 la. Salami, 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 baloney, baloney. Volkswagen, Volkswagen, Volkswagen. Do not get me wrong. I'm not making fun of tongues. I pray in tongues every day that I can. I believe in the gift. I believe in the prayer language. Without question. Don't get me wrong. But I don't believe it is the evidence of a person being filled with the Spirit of God. That manifestation can be a evidence, but it's not the evidence. Now, Pastor, why don't you believe that? Because if it was true that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, if it was true that you'd speak in tongues, then every time that happened in the scriptures, every time somebody got filled with the Spirit, they would speak in tongues. But that's not what happens in the scriptures every time somebody got filled. As a matter of fact, in verse 31, they got filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. There's the evidence that you've been filled. You speak the word of God with boldness. You get a boldness and a courage that you wouldn't normally have. As quiet as it's kept, John Jenkins is a shy person. I know y'all don't believe that, but y'all are seeing the product of somebody who's been filled with the Holy Ghost talking to you right now. In my normal temperament, this dude right here is shy and quiet. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of me, y'all, I can't keep it to myself. I'm excited. His power and presence has transformed me and changed me. And matter of fact, they spoke the word of God in boldness. And that's actually point three. My final point. I mean, there's prayer. There's power, and there's a proclamation. Here's the next thing you got to do to see God's power flowing in your life and see His grace is be willing to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, here's the deal. If you're not going to be a witness for Him, there's no need of Him even giving you His grace and power. But God is looking for people who are willing to be bold and courageous and to step up boldly and don't be ashamed of the gospel and don't be ashamed of what Jesus did for you. My prayer is God would do such fantastic things for you in your life, you can't stop talking about it. That's what I'm praying. That you will tell somebody, I believe Jesus. I know He died on the cross for my sins. I believe He was buried and I believe He got up out of the grave. And because I believe that, I'm here to tell you, you can be saved, that you can be transformed, that you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you can have the peace of God that surpasses understanding. I'm praying that God would give you a holy boldness to proclaim Jesus, His death and His burial and His resurrection. That's what my prayer is. That you would have such courageousness, such courage, such boldness, that you would proclaim the glory of God. I listen to y'all's conversations, and I'm praying that God would percolate up in this camp a crowd of people who are on fire for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That you can't help but talking about it. I'm praying that your lifestyle becomes that God is doing so many things for you that every time you turn around, you're testifying about some door that God has opened for you. Some prayer that He's answered for you. Some miracle that He has done for you. Now, in just a few moments, I'm going to send an invitation for people to get saved. And people to rededicate themselves, because I know you're here. I know there's some people here that are unsaved. I know you're here. And the Lord knows you're here. And the Holy Ghost knows you're here. And there's some people here who are backslidden. You drifted away from God. Your prayer life is nothing. Zilch. You're not reading the Word. You're not in the Word. It's zilch. You need to rededicate. You need to recommit to God. I'm going to open up a door and opportunity for people to come forward. Some people who are unsure, you're going to come. You got to come. And there's some people who are already saved, but you need a church home. I'm going to invite you to come. But after that, I'm going to pray for, I'm going to make an appeal for people who are saying, you know what, Lord? I want to be filled with your presence. And I'm going to invite you down to this altar, and we're going to pray for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Fill you with the Spirit. So if you're not saved and you need to get saved, you need to just get on up and come down here right now. Just come on right quick and say, you know what? That's me. I need Jesus in my life. I'm unsure. I need assurance. I'm backslidden. I need to rededicate myself. Don't be ashamed. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want to invite you to come. I hope people don't start walking out rudely right now at this very sacred moment of the service. That would be so disrespectful. Please don't do that. Please. All right. Unsaved, come. Backslidden, come. It's okay. I got you, baby. Unsaved, come. Backslidden, come. Unsure. That's right. Come. That's right. Come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm so proud of you, baby. All right. So proud of you, baby. So proud of you, sweetie. So proud of you, baby. Step right there. That's right. Come on. Right now. Right this moment. I'm proud of you, bro. God bless you. Amen. So proud of you, bro. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. Come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Glory to God. How old are you, buddy?
13.
I'm so proud of you, bro. Step right there, man. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you right with God? Are you backslidden? Are you sure? Do you have a church home? Go ahead. Witness to the... Start being a proclaimer right now and witness to the person right next to you. Ask them, are you right with God? Do you have a church home? Come on, right now, right this moment, right this day, right this instant. That's right. I see you. Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Somebody else?
Right now is the moment.
Hallelujah.
I will change. I have waited
for this moment.
And I won't let it
right, give the Lord a shout for these lives here today. Hallelujah. I am so proud of you. The angels are dancing in heaven. The person behind you is a counselor. They're going to take you back to a room that we have. They're going to sit down. They're going to talk to you. They're going to ask you why you came. What's the reason? Some of you come to get saved. They're going to walk you through the process of what it takes to get saved. Some of you are backslidden. You want to rededicate yourself. They're going to walk you through those steps. Some of you are unsure. It's going to give you assurance. They're going to walk you through the process, give you some scriptures so you can be assured. Some of you are already saved, want to join this church. You made a good decision to join this church. This here is a great church. It's a good church. And they'll walk you through that. I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray. By your hands, let's pray. Father, I thank you for each one of these souls today. I know you know each one by name, and you know their journey. And I ask you for your mercy and compassion upon them, Almighty God. I ask you in the name of the Lord to touch their lives. Fill them with your spirit. Give them faith to believe and a heart to repent. And let your perfect will prevail. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to spend just a moment praying for people who want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Make your way down to this altar right now. We're going to ask God. We're going to pray. We're hungry for God. We want His Spirit to fill us. Make your way down here right this moment, right now. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm proud of you. I'm sorry, I should have told you to bring your stuff with you. Because everybody here ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. Because we're going to dismiss right after this. Thank you for hungering for God. Never become content with mediocrity in your life. Never. The enemy will want you to think that that's just the way it's going to be. No, 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 no. God's desire is to smear you with great power and great grace. Amen. What's the key to this being filled? The key is yielding, letting go. Something you holding on to that's keeping God's presence from exploding in your life. Amen. You know what it is. You ain't got to think about it. It's right there. I'm here to tell you, let it go. And watch God explode in your life. All right? Y'all got it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to talk to these your sons and daughters. And God, we come together before you as empty cups before your full fountain. And we come today with our hearts hungry and thirsting for your power and might to rule and reign in every arena of our lives. God, today we want to be filled with your presence. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be bold witnesses for your kingdom. Not ashamed, not afraid to declare your goodness to us, to anybody who would have an ear to hear. And we pray today as we come repenting and examining our lives and confessing and acknowledge, Heavenly Father, the thing that has held us back, we're willing to let it go. Release it, God. And we ask you to fill every nook and cranny of our lives with your power and your presence. And Father, I pray today that you will let your power and your grace be smeared greatly in their life in the name of Jesus. be glorified, Almighty God, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now give him a shout of praise.
Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna cross over. I wanna run over.